Okay, so imagine this, right? You go to the doctor, you get a prescription for medication, pretty standard stuff. But then, without you even knowing, that information, like what you were prescribed, gets sent straight to a government database. Kind of creepy, right? Makes you think a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's the kind of situation at the heart of this case we're diving into today, Waylon v. Roe.
Oh, interesting.
It went all the way to the Supreme Court back in 1977. Now, I know 1977, that's like ages ago. You're probably thinking, what could this possibly have to do with us now?
Right.
But trust me on this one. This case is surprisingly relevant, especially now that digital health records are, pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, I can see that.
It really laid the groundwork for how we think about privacy, particularly when it comes to our medical information.
I mean, it makes you wonder about like the balance between, the government trying to protect public health and our own individual right to privacy. Like, where's the line?
Exactly. And that's like the big question that this case brings up.
It's a balancing act that honestly has only gotten trickier, in our data-driven world.
For sure.
So, to set the stage a little bit, we're talking New York State back in the 1970s.
Okay.
They were dealing with a pretty serious drug abuse problem,
Yeah.
especially with what they call Schedule II drugs.
What are those again?
So Schedule II drugs, these are things like strong painkillers,
Okay.
stimulants, that kind of thing.
Got it.
Medications that definitely have legitimate uses,
Right.
but also like a higher chance of being misused.
That makes sense.
So New York decides to try and tackle this. They passed this law requiring doctors to report every single Schedule II prescription to a central database.
Wow, every single one.
Every single one. And we're talking like patient info, the drug, dosage, everything.
So they really wanted to keep track of it all, huh?
Yeah, their goal was to try and like track these prescriptions and hopefully, cut down on the abuse.
I can see how that, logically seems like it could work. Right.
But I can also see how that might raise some eyebrows.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can imagine how some doctors and patients felt about their private medical info just like sitting in a government database.
Yeah, that's got to feel a little unsettling.
Totally. It caused a huge uproar. People were worried about like leaks, misuse, all of that.
Right.
So it ends up going all the way to the Supreme Court.
Okay, and what happened?
And this might surprise you, but they actually sided with New York.
Really?
Yeah. Unanimous decision, too.
Wow.
But here's the thing, and this is where it gets interesting.
Okay.
Even though they all voted the same way, the justices had some like pretty different opinions about it all. It wasn't a simple like open and shut case.
Interesting. So, what were the main arguments that they were like going back and forth on?
Yeah. So the plaintiffs, those were the doctors and patients who were suing. They said this law violated their constitutional right to privacy. They focused on two specific types of privacy. The first one, kind of the obvious one, they were afraid of their sensitive medical information getting out there.
Makes sense.
Leaks, misuse, you name it. And keep in mind, this is like way before we had high pay
Right. Yeah.
or even like really sophisticated cybersecurity.
So they were worried about the security of the database itself. But
Exactly.
you said there were two types of privacy concerns. So
Yeah.
what was the other one?
The second one, it's a little more nuanced. They call it decisional autonomy.
Decisional autonomy.
Decisional autonomy. Okay, what does that mean?
So it basically gets at the heart of that doctor-patient relationship. They were saying that even just having this database, like knowing you're being watched,
Yeah.
it could have a chilling effect.
I see.
So, like, imagine you're a doctor
Okay.
and you know every single opioid prescription you write,
Yeah.
it's going straight into a government database.
Right.
Might make you hesitate a little, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Even if you know it's medically necessary for the patient. Exactly. And, like, on the flip side, think about the patients. They might avoid getting treatment they need because they're worried about the stigma.
Yeah, or like potential repercussions down the line.
Right. So it's not just about keeping the information secret, it's about how this whole thing might change people's behavior and, affect their medical decisions.
Right, it becomes almost like a psychological barrier.
Exactly. And the crazy thing is, the majority opinion, the one written by Justice Stevens, they actually agreed with this.
They
They
did.
recognized both of these privacy interests as being at stake.
So if they agreed that privacy was like a legitimate concern here,
Yeah.
why did they end up siding with New York?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
So Basically, what they did is they weighed the state's interest in fighting drug abuse against the potential harm to individual privacy.
Probably like a balancing test.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they concluded that, at least back then, the state's interest was strong enough to justify, you know, this intrusion. Especially because New York had put security measures in place to try and protect the data.
I see. So they felt like the benefits outweighed the risks. But that doesn't seem like the end of the story, though.
Oh, no. Not even close.
Yeah.
This is where it gets even more interesting. Because even though the vote was unanimous,
yeah,
some of the justices had very different ideas about, like, what privacy even means.
Oh, really? Like, what? It's like, okay, so let's fast forward a bit.
Okay.
To, like, today.
Right.
And think about how Whalen v. Roe might play out now.
Okay, yeah.
Especially when it comes to, like, digital health records. I mean, that's something that affects pretty much everyone listening.
Oh, totally.
We've all got these electronic medical records these days.
Right.
But, like, how secure are they, really?
Yeah, good question.
And who actually has access to all that information?
It's something I think we all wonder about.
Right.
I mean, in Whalen, the court said states can collect that sensitive medical data if there's a legitimate public health reason.
Okay.
And they've got, like, enough safeguards in place.
Right.
But adequate safeguards back in 1977.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Totally different world.
That's a whole different ballgame compared to, like, the age of massive data breaches we live in now.
Right. Exactly. It's hard not to be a little, like, skeptical.
Oh, for sure.
When you hear about yet another data breach, often involving, like, our very personal information.
Right.
It makes you wonder if those security measures that the court had in mind back then can really hold up against the threats we face today.
Yeah, it's a valid concern.
For sure.
And like, not to mention, it's not always some, you know, shadowy hacker out there.
Right.
Sometimes it's like leaks or misuse.
Yeah.
Coming from people who are actually supposed to have access to the systems.
That's a really crucial point.
Right.
I mean, the more centralized and interconnected our health data becomes,
right,
the more potential, like, vulnerabilities we're creating.
Yeah.
It's kind of a paradox, isn't it?
It really is.
On the one hand, you know, digital health records.
Yeah.
They could, like, revolutionize healthcare.
Right.
Improving care coordination.
Yeah.
Even speeding up medical research.
Right.
But on the other hand, the risks to our privacy are just undeniable.
Yeah.
It's like we're walking this tightrope.
Totally.
Between the, like, the benefits of the technology and, you know, this potential erosion of our privacy.
It's like constantly trying to find that balance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this tension, right?
Yeah.
It's playing out right now.
Mm-hmm.
In the debate over those prescription drug monitoring programs.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The PDMPs.
The PDMPs.
Those are the databases run by states.
Right.
To keep tabs on prescriptions.
Okay.
For controlled substances.
So basically, like, a modern version.
Exactly.
Of what New York was doing.
Yeah.
Back in the 70s.
Huh.
With that centralized database.
That's exactly it.
But now it's, like, even more data.
Right. And, like, way more advanced technology.
Absolutely. And while these PDMPs, right, they can be helpful.
Yeah.
They can help spot opioid abuse, try and prevent it.
Right.
They've also stirred up some serious privacy concerns.
Makes sense.
You know, it can feel a little Big Brother-ish.
Oh, yeah.
To have your prescription history just, like, tracked in some government database.
It does make you think, like, even though Whalen v. Roe upheld a similar system, how do courts view these programs today?
Well, it's gotten more complicated, that's for sure.
Okay.
There have been, like, legal challenges to PDMPs.
Uh-huh.
Some people arguing that they might violate the Fourth Amendment.
Oh, interesting.
You know, the one about unreasonable searches?
Right, right.
Saying that these programs are basically the government searching your private medical information without a good reason.
I see. So even though the Supreme Court decided on Whalen a while back, the legal landscape has shifted.
Oh, absolutely.
And the courts are still trying to figure out how to apply these ideas to, like, the digital age.
It's fascinating to watch it all unfold, really.
It really is.
And this whole issue, right? Yeah. It goes way beyond just healthcare.
Oh, right.
Whalen v. Roe has big implications.
Okay.
For the whole debate about government surveillance.
That's true. I mean, from facial recognition software to location tracking.
Yeah, you name it.
It seems like almost every move we make is being watched.
Right.
In ways that we've been, like, unimaginable back in 77.
And it's not just the government we have to think about either.
That's true.
Think about all the data that, like, private companies are scooping up.
Oh, yeah.
Our internet history, what we do on social media, our online shopping habits.
It's a law.
It's all being gathered, analyzed.
Right.
Often sold, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes without us really knowing or consenting.
That's, like, the scary part.
Yeah.
So considering all of that.
Like, how well do you think Whalen v. Roe actually holds up as a legal precedent today?
That's a really tough question.
Mm.
I mean, the core principles from the case, right?
Okay.
Like, balancing public health and privacy.
Yeah.
The importance of safeguards.
Right.
Those are definitely still relevant.
Okay.
But technology has changed so drastically.
Of course, absolutely.
That it's hard to say for sure how the court would rule on a similar case now.
Which makes sense, right? The law is constantly, like, trying to play catch up.
Yeah, exactly.
With all these technological advancements and, like, how society is changing.
Right. And that's actually what makes Whalen v. Roe such a powerful case, I think.
Okay.
It doesn't give us all the answers.
Right.
But it forces us to ask these really essential questions.
Yeah.
About, like, the limits of privacy in a world where data is so incredibly valuable.
Right. It kind of reminds me of what Justice Brennan said in his opinion.
Yeah.
He said, if the safeguards are not now sufficient, they may be made so by legislative reform. Oh, that's a good one.
Right. It's like, it highlights that we're not helpless.
Right.
In this, like, data-driven world.
We're not just passive bystanders.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We have a voice. We need to demand, like, stronger protection.
Absolutely.
For our privacy.
It's a good reminder that it's not just about what the courts decide.
Right.
It's about what we as citizens demand from our lawmakers and from the companies collecting our data.
Right. Exactly.
Whalen v. Roe is not just about looking back.
Okay.
It's about understanding how to move forward.
It does feel like kind of like we're at this this crossroads.
Yeah.
When it comes to data privacy. Like, the choices we make now, you know,
right,
they're going to have a ripple effect for, like, years to come.
Absolutely. It really is, like, almost like we're standing at a fork in the road.
Okay.
Two very different paths ahead of us.
Like, down one path.
Right.
Data is used ethically.
Right.
Responsibly for the benefit of society.
Right.
But the other, I don't know, it's a little scary.
It can be.
It's a future where, like, our every move is tracked and, you know.
Yeah.
Potentially used against us.
It is a pretty stark contrast.
Yeah, yeah. It really is.
And the decisions we make today, both individually, you know, and as a society, they're going to determine which path we end up taking.
It's a lot of responsibility.
It is.
But it's also, like, kind of empowering in a way.
Absolutely.
That we have a say in all of this. So, like, what can we learn from this?
Yeah.
What lessons can we take from Whalen v. Roe to, you know, to help us navigate all of this?
I think Whalen v. Roe, even though it was, you know, decided so long ago.
Yeah.
It reminds us that we can't just, like, blindly hand over control.
Right.
Of our personal data.
To the government or, you know, corporations.
Exactly.
We need to be informed, ask questions.
Absolutely.
We have a right to demand transparency.
Yeah.
And, like, hold those in power accountable for protecting our privacy.
Yeah. I think that's such a key point. We need to be proactive.
Yeah.
In, like, shaping the rules of the game, you know?
Right.
That means advocating for strong privacy laws.
Uh-huh.
Supporting organizations that are out there fighting for our digital rights.
And it's not just about legislation either, right?
Right.
We make choices every day.
Yeah.
As consumers that impact our privacy.
You're exactly right. Being mindful of what we share online, being selective about the apps we use, supporting companies that prioritize privacy. I mean, these everyday actions, when you multiply them across millions of people, it can have a huge impact.
It's about taking control of our own digital footprint.
Yeah.
And demanding better.
Right.
From the companies we interact with. It's a powerful reminder that we're not helpless.
It is.
In this data-driven world. We have agency.
We do.
We have a voice.
Yeah.
And we have a responsibility to use them.
Well said. I think that's a great point to, you know, to leave our listeners with. We need to approach the future with awareness.
Uh-huh.
A healthy dose of skepticism.
Right.
And a commitment to shaping a world where technology serves humanity.
Yeah.
Not the other way around.
Couldn't agree more. Well, hey, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Whalen v. Roe. It's a case that, you know, might seem like ancient history.
Right.
But it has these incredibly relevant lessons for the digital age. So until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep fighting for your right to privacy.